Thank you, worship band. You did such an amazing work here this morning. Praise the Lord. So good to see so many of you here. Some of you were out traveling. I'm glad you're back. It's good to have you back. May the Lord really bless you among us. I don't know if you know everyone that's sitting beside you, but I tell you, he is a good friend of yours. He wants to get to know you better. He wants to walk with you, and he wants to be close to you, and he wants to, you know, be there for you if you need anything. So be very welcome in the midst of us this morning. Okay. We have been talking about the excitement of the Holy Spirit. And we have been inviting the church to join us, or to join the excitement of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how much excited, or how deep, or how much are you excited about the things of the kingdom. Now, we want to talk a little bit, what unlocks the desires for the kingdom? I was listening this week to a message from preacher David Jeremiah. How many have heard of Pastor David Jeremiah? Many of us here. And he said with sadness in his heart, you know, did you know that the churches nowadays, many places, they do not talk about hell anymore. But then he added, but did you know that they're not talking about heaven either? Which makes us pretty sad. I mean, I believe that we all want to go there one day. But somehow, we have not really unlocked the desire to go there. What we might have done, we have tried to be a good Christian and hoping we will make it there one day. We all want to go there. I know. That's not a question. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But the idea of us getting the joys as we are walking about, as we are talking about it, as we are walking on our Christian walk, we want to go to heaven. We want to be in heaven. We want to experience heaven. Now, how do you unlock that desire? It is through the Holy Spirit who leads you into prayer. It's the next step. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have received the Lord Jesus in your heart. Now you are waiting for to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that he will get you moving. This might maybe a little bad example, but one day you looked at your, for those who are married, or for those who are engaged, or for those who have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So one day you saw, and I'm thinking about, you know, some couples that are living or that are long time married. And if you think back a little bit, how was the first day as you saw your wife or that beautiful girl? You looked at her, wow. But that was not the end of it. The wow thing made you go, or made you move into action, made you move forward. The next step would be, well, I'm going to actually go and see if I can have a date with her or with him. After the date, you start talking, and then it really gets moving into the process. Hey, you want to marry me? But that's into a long process of talking and talking and talking. But finally, you have talked quite a bit. Let's say a year or two talking, and then at that time, I remember an hour back in the day, you only saw your girlfriend on the weekend, because during the week you were working. So you were looking forward for the weekend to come so that you could have that glimpse on that beautiful girl, that handsome man, because you got excited. But then the connection increased and got deeper as you were talking with each other. And that is the key. It is through the talking, through the communication, through the spending time together, you get to know and you get excited about the kingdom of God. If we don't do it, we don't get the excitement. We might have had I got my insurance. I'm good to go. I will be in heaven. But then you moved on to other things. You did not continue in getting excited about where the Lord is actually going to lead you and me. So what unlocks the things of the kingdom is the prayer. We're going to see this a little bit today. One would even think, let's read, this is from chapter 16 of the book of Acts. And just to get us situated a little bit, we kind of jumped ahead a little bit from first chapter 12 last weekend. We went landing on chapter 16 today. By now the mission has gone beyond Jerusalem. By now the mission of the Apostle Paul and all the other disciples, they had spread out a little bit. In fact, they had gone as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Today it would be kind of called, it's the area in Turkey, Asia Minor region. So they had gone far, if you think where they started, in Jerusalem, from the upper room. They went all the way up, and they started walking into these places and regions. And in the meantime, you also know the Apostle Paul, he was, is that music, a music background? I like that. That's okay. That's all good. Praise the Lord. But the Apostle Paul, he was one of them that was kind of against it. But in the meantime, he got converted. He got just so, he embraced the Lord Jesus. He embraced the kingdom. And he was a very strong man in the faith. Let's have that. He was one of the strongest apostles. Great part of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. And one would think, well, an Apostle Paul, does he also need to pray? Well, look how interesting. Let's read from Acts chapter 16. The first verses there, from verse 16 and forward. Acts 16, verses, let's read from verse 16. And here's what it says. Once when we were going to the place of prayer. And that's the thing that kind of caught my attention. The Apostle Paul, he was not necessarily Superman just because of all the things he did. He became the super apostle because he found himself once in a while into a place of prayer. He went down to pray. He bowed his knees. He said, Lord Jesus, without you, I can't do it. It is just too much work. I need your assistance. I need your power. I need your direction. I need your presence. If not, I can't do it. So one would think that he didn't need to, because he is the guy. Oh, he need to. Now think about Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verses 21. At that time, Jesus, full of the joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. He, too, had to pray. He, too, had to keep the communication going. Ephesians chapter 5, 18 and 20. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. By the way, the source of whatever we do in the kingdom comes from the Spirit, from the relationship, from the communication with the Father, from the communication, and it's through the Spirit that you get to know what's happening in the kingdom level. You can't get it through strong university. You gotta get it from the relationship, from the once the first glimpse is there, okay, now start talking. Now let's get going. Okay, what's next? What do I have to do next? That's what unlocks the kingdom. The communication with the Father. And it is, since the Holy Spirit is the one that knows every single corner of the heart of the Father, it is through the Holy Spirit who is here representing the Father for us to keep on having that glimpse. Even the desire of heaven. The desire for heaven. Talking to Joel the other day. He said, "Oh, Dad, you scare me when you talk about the end." I said, "Sorry, Joel, I don't want to do that. I don't want to scare you. But I want you to get excited about the things of the kingdom. I want you to get excited about the fact that one day we will be in heaven and it's going to be amazing." But we get caught up on the things of this world and we end up cooling off our relationship with the Father just because these things here become more important. And we don't get this thing of the kingdom. So the Holy Spirit drives us to prayer, as he did with the Apostle Paul on this text. He drives us to search for fellowship with the Lord, to become bold in the ministry, to keep the priorities straight. It's about the kingdom. For the church people, for Christian people, it is the things of the kingdom that really matter. The things of this world are secondary. Ed, pastor, told me the other day, God first, then your wife, your family, and then the church. That's the order he put me into. It's kind of a good order. But God first. God first. So the Holy Spirit becomes, or leads us to boldness in the ministry, to share the good news. Because we are so excited. I have talked about it before. We are so excited, so we will share. And to experience revelation of the word, of the things of the word. When we read the scripture, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the scripture. And maybe sometimes, because we read it over too fast and we don't really give it attention or give it a close, okay, what is this text actually meaning spiritually? We can get the head knowledge of the meaning of the text. That's one thing. That's important. We go to the Greek, we go to the Hebrew, we got it all here, we got it here. Now I know what the text means. But sometimes just accumulating knowledge of the scripture, the Bible is very clear, it is a living word. Sometimes a text in Genesis speaks to you about something here and right now. It's a living word. If I preach here about one specific text, it might mean 500 different things to 500 different people. I don't know how many people we have here, maybe 200, 150, something. But the Holy Spirit is the one that leads us to understand and to get the revelation of the word that is being preached. Acts chapter 16, verses 13, even does also share or tell what the Apostle Paul did. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. And so we sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. Prayer unlocks. The prayer is the first thing that needs to happen. It will unlock everything else that follows. And in this case, for the Apostle Paul, a lot of things follow. When we read from verse 16, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for the owners by fortune telling. So she followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." It's interesting that this lady actually did say a good thing. She said the right thing. She said that these men, the Apostle Paul and all the people that were walking with him, are telling about the kingdom and are telling about how you can be saved. But see how interesting it is. Because he was gone into prayer, he had been in prayer, he noticed something different. The question is, would you notice? So when the devil sees you pray, he gets scared. We have talked about that. When we do not pray, he doesn't really care. But in this case, this young lady, she was insisting with the Apostle Paul. "Hey, you are doing this. Look at this man." So the Holy Spirit leads to spiritual discernment. She kept this up, and this is verse 18. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Maybe if it would be one of us, we'd say, "Oh yeah, she is agreeing with us." But he recognized, in the midst of this conversation from this young lady, he recognized this voice is from the enemy. Now, because he had prayed, because he had fellowship with the Father, because he was close to the Father, he spotted right away. This lady, even if she's saying, what is she saying? She comes from a different perspective. What she is saying might be true, but who is saying it is the devil. In fact, verse 19, when the owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, see, now it comes out pretty clear. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. And they brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept our practice." Verse 22, and the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. I think the Apostle Paul, he knew already what would happen. But he cast out that spirit from that woman, and that caused an uproar in the city. In fact, that woman was making money to a bunch of guys. And all of a sudden, no more money coming out of that lady. She couldn't foretell future anymore because the spirit was gone, identified by the Apostle Paul, because he was in prayer and in fellowship, in close fellowship with the Father. Consequence, well, they ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened them, their feet, in the stocks. Now, the Apostle Paul tried to understand this. Him and Silas, both of them, went to jail. First of all, beaten up. I mean, slashed. I'm not sure if they got the 39 lashes or whatever it was, but they got beaten up harshly. You're going to see it in the text right away. Then they grabbed them, they put them in jail, in the inner jail, they put their feet in the stocks, like they were tied up. And they were sitting there in a muddy, dirty prison, probably filled with rats, sitting there. Number three here, the Holy Spirit leads us to overcome even the flesh. About midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. That's one thing, you know. If I'm one day going to go to jail, I always say, Well, there are lots of people in jail that also will need to hear the gospel. So keep on preaching there. If they put me in jail here, I'm going to go there, whatever it is, keep on preaching in there. But the Apostle Paul here and Silas were exactly there. They didn't even really, I mean, not that it wasn't hurting. But they were there worshiping, praising, singing hymns during this time. You see, brothers, there is something about this connection. There is something about even worship. Because the prayer, the insisting with the Lord in prayer, also kind of does lead us into singing, into worshiping, into praising God, into exalt His majesty, into put the name of Jesus up high. It is in us. At the moment we start getting the connection and trying to understand who this Christ is whom we follow. And how do we get to that point? It's when we get in contact with Him, when we stay touched close to Him. I guess something we have quite not figured out yet. But when we start worshiping through prayer or song or a thought, heavens are moved. Heavens move. It does something. It softens the heart of the Father. No matter how you go about it, God's presence, and God's presence at the moment we worship and we pray and we are intent, we are close to Him, we are like buddies. It changes the circumstance and it ends up changing us. In fact, we have talked about it here too. Prayer not necessarily does change God, but it changes us. And once we have the glimpse of the place where we are going, once we have the glimpse of who the Father is, once we have the glimpse of who Jesus is and what He did for us, we overcome the flesh. Now, it is brought into us by the Holy Spirit through this fellowship. So the Holy Spirit comes and visits us in a different way, in a more intense way. The pastor said, we do not worship to be blessed. But if we worship, we are blessed. In this case here this morning, worship shakes things up for this text in and around us. True and intense worship ushers us into the presence of God. And once in God's presence, now let me tell you, once you are in the circle, once you are in God's presence, feeling His closeness, feeling His presence, feeling His love, His embrace, His care, His fatherly love, once you are in that very place, forget the flesh. Forget the things of this world. They become secondary or even last. Once we get into that very level, all of a sudden, all the other things lose value. Not that they're not important, but at the moment that you are in a deep fellowship, there's nothing that can hold, take you back. I mentioned here a couple years ago, a friend of ours back in Brazil, he was in very, very deep pain one night. He said there was so much pain, but so much pain. He was almost hallucinating. But then he had a dream overnight. And he said he had a glimpse of heaven. And he said, I could not put in word. Because if I put in word what I saw, I damage it. I damage the vision and I just cannot really explain what I saw. But it's unreal. It's unbelievable. It is so incredible. So once in the presence of God, there is joy and peace no matter what. There is joy and peace no matter what. See, at this point, the Apostle Paul, he was in jail. And I mentioned that to some of the people here on Friday. See, there was no such thing as calling 911. Please get me out of here. At that time, he was in there, in pain, stripped, in the dirt, completely by themselves, him and his buddy. Of course, there were some other soldiers, but he kind of, I'm cut off from the outside world. And in the meantime, like midnight or so, the text goes, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. In God's presence, there is power and there is freedom. Verse 26 and 27, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake. See, after they had been singing and worshiping and praising, and that extremely painful situation. Look what the Lord does. Suddenly, verse 26, 27, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open. It just, bang! You know, presence of God in the full. In the midst of that pain. Chains fell apart. The things on their feet, I don't know how it happened, it just broke loose. The gates, bang, flew open. But everyone's chains came loose. And the jailer, he woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here having a good time. We're all here. Nobody left." So then this jailer and all the other guys were listening to Paul and Silas singing and praying and worshiping, singing hymns. I'm not sure if they had a hymnal there, whatever they had. But they were singing a song. They were worshiping the Lord, and somehow the presence of God came to that very spot. Broke everything loose. A guy from the outside, like the jailer, as he heard the voice of Paul, he rushed there. What did he do? Well, the text says the jailer calls for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. See, in the presence of God, there is humbleness. Because we really become nobodies at that very moment. When God is present, when you are in a place of worship, you recognize, oh my goodness, I am a filthy guy. I am a sinner. I have failed God so many times. I need help. Please, Lord, forgive me. You see your dirtiness when there's bigger light shining. Isn't that true? If it's kind of half dark, you can dress up a little dirty clothes. Nobody would notice. But right now, this light is shining on me. If there would be some spot on my clothes, probably you would notice it. Because there's a light shining on it. And so it is with our lives. If the Lord is present and we get into the circle of the Lord's presence, we notice how bad we are. As elders, we are praying, we are fasting, we are praying that we would be cleansed, we would be purified. We would take away every sin, any sin, hidden sin, just remove it. Father, we don't want it, we don't want it. So in God's presence, like it happened with this guy, people humble themselves. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?"
He didn't even preach, did he? He was singing a song. And I'm not sure what song he was singing, but somehow he understood this is about salvation of eternity. Somehow he felt the presence of God in that place. So he kneeled down right there. What do I need to do to be saved? Well, then, of course, the Apostle Paul had a chance. Well, verse 31, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And then they spoke the word to the Lord, or the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. So in God's presence, there is healing and full satisfaction, and there is God's favor. Verse 33, at that hour of the night, the jailer took and washed their wounds. See, by now, grace and mercy, all the angels had arrived. They were there with the Apostle Paul. Probably was just a moment of incredible place there. He took them out there. He took them to his house, and he washed their wounds. And probably already by now saying, I'm really sorry. I'm really, really, really sorry. Now let me tell you one thing this morning. I want to keep it quiet, but then I said, you know what? The Spirit's telling me to tell you this. To my fault. I was coming. You were late. I was speeding. Got pulled over by the police. True story. The guard comes. Hey, sir, you were speeding. Guilty as charged. Told him. It's true. And I told him, you know, I'm really sorry. See, we have just come from Saskatchewan, so and so. And I mean, but I told the guard, and I told him, say, you know, I'm a pastor. And I said, what time does your service start? Well, it was 9:30 for the Sunday school, so. And we had left a little late, so we have to rethink what time we need to leave so that we were here be on time. But he kind of looked at me and he said, "Well, do you have your insurance thing?" And then I found out it's home. I just got it in the mail this week. And he found out, well, that is a $65 right there. So, I found grace. See, I will not charge you that one this time. He said, I mean, you know what? I told him, I can still go quick, pick it up, really, and bring it home, bring it over. No, that's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Just have it in your car. Okay, I did not know I had to have it in the car. I thought I had to have the registration and my drivers and all that. That was all in the car. But the insurance thing, I had left at home. I thought it was supposed to be home. So he forgave that one. I said, you know what? I'm going to forgive a little bit of your, I will give you no points. So I'm just going to charge you the very minimum here. I say, you know, thank you very much, sir. That's grace. And I give him my card. I'm the pastor of the Markham Missionary Church. So now you're all in the process here now, you know. Oh, you got that pastor that is speeding out there, you know. Okay. I learned a lesson. But I also saw grace in the guard. He was merciful. He just said, well, I'm sorry to keep you here so long. And I left in peace. We'll pay a little bit, but anyway, it's okay. The bigger problem is my wife said, you know, each time you get a ticket, the same amount you pay for a ticket, you got to buy me a gift. So, now this is my first ticket in I don't know how many years, and many, many years. So I owe her $50-some in a gift, so now. If you want to help me with that, please, Cora. No, just kidding. Okay, where were we? So, you know, I want to say too, you know, I'm not a perfect man. But I know that the Lord is with me, and I felt the grace this morning. And yeah, may the Lord just give us grace, continue to give us grace. Anyway, in God's presence, there is healing. There is God's favor. As he got out of the jail, what happened? He got washed and kind of sent, and he got released. The jailer brought them out into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God and in his whole household. That's grace. Now, in God's presence, there is also honor. It says in verse 35, when it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. But Paul said to the officers, that's verse 37, they beat us up publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and they threw us into prison, and now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out. And the officers reported this to the magistrate. And when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. And after Paul and Silas had come out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they were met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. And then they left. Dear brothers, dear sisters, it all starts, anything in the kingdom of God gets unlocked when we get into deep, closer fellowship with the Father. It will not happen through any other means. And I know too, for many of us, those who really want, okay, now I'm going to pray, and how hard it is sometimes to actually become quiet and pray and spend a time with the Lord to a point where we enter the presence of God. I have felt this a couple times in my life. I wish it would be happening every day. But there were a couple times in my life I simply could not stop praying. I went for hours. I couldn't stop because it was so good. In the circle of the presence of God, there is joy, there is peace, there is power, there is encouragement, there is honor. It's all there. Yes, there is a fight too. There is discernment. You find out about the things you need to do and things you need to say. And it is my prayer that all of us would somehow get into the circle, so have the chains fly open. And whatever chain you are in yet, if you are in any type of chain, if you are in any type of sin, if you are in anything you cannot get out of, you, it's just so hard, you think you are sitting with it, even it's low self-esteem, or if it's depression, or if it's any illness, whatever it is, there are ways to get rid of it. And it has to do with coming into the deeper circle of the presence of Almighty God. Once that happens, all the other things really lose value. Could we pray? As the worship team comes up here, I hope you have a song. You do? Praise the Lord. As they're going to be singing, make a decision in your heart this morning. Make a decision of, Lord, I want to enter your circle. I want to enter into the closer
relationship, closer presence. And it's the Spirit that leads us in there. Ask the Lord, Lord, I have so many things I need to get rid of. And it's so very hard. And there are people that are grieving. There are people that are all kinds of situations that you're in. You seem not to be able to get out of it. But the Lord, the fellowship, the glory of heaven comes into you. And all of a sudden these things become minor. You are able to sing in the most dirtiest, hardest, difficult places or times in your life. You're able to sing a hymn. You're able to worship the Lord. Because it's above and beyond the earthly things. Oh, Lord Jesus. We learn from the Apostle Paul how the Spirit leads him or led him into fellowship, into prayer. And how the Holy Spirit led him into singing. In spite of the very difficult condition that he was in. But it led him into think about the things that are important. Like evangelizing the guard. Lord Jesus. We do pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would just lead us and somehow unlock into us the things of the kingdom of heaven. So that we would be filled with the presence of heaven, with the desire to be in heaven, to see heaven, to think about the things of heaven, about the glory, about your majesty, about your throne, about what Jesus did. About the amount of forgiveness we have received. Oh, Lord Jesus. Sometimes we lose it. We lose courage. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us. In our weakness, in our faults, in our shortcomings. Have us see beyond and really get engaged with you, Lord Jesus. Fall in love with you, Lord, through prayer, through worship. Thank you so very much. So as the group sings, take a moment, and reflect about your life. And make a specific prayer this morning. Lord, let me enter the circle of your presence.